Oh, carry my loved one home safely to me. She sailed at the dawning. All day I've been blue. Red sails in the sunset. We marry tomorrow, and she goes sailing no more. Red sails in the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one.
There you go, Admiral.
Great, great music.
They don't do it like that anymore. They can't.
No, unfortunately not. Just
no chance.
Horrible noise now. Jeez.
Yeah. Could that guy sing? I mean,
oh,
that
God.
Was a gift from God. That's
yeah.
Just...
Is he still alive, you know?
No.
Probably not. No, that was back in the 50s and 60s.
He
oh, well.
Tragically died of emphysema. He smoked.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Was he a smoker?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, same with Nat King Cole. He died from that.
Yeah, well, this guy was way better than Nat King Cole.
Right, right. Yeah, but still, back in those days,
they all smoked.
Was smoking, yeah. My mom did. My dad did. I couldn't. My sister did. It just
couldn't
was horrible.
Stop them. Well, it's addictive. It's a terribly addictive thing, nicotine.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
So.
It's bad. Tony was a parking cars in Hollywood, and literally one of those stories that, rags to riches.
Yep.
Okay, back to our pictures with
back
Harry Cooper. Where
pictures
are we?
Number 11 is where we pick up.
Okay.
This is the famous Deep Tunnel. And not all of our group wants to go there because we got to hike a mile into the forest and hike a mile back out. And, I mean, you can't find it. Unless you know where you're looking, there's a trail that the trail is almost indistinguishable from the rest of the forest. And we go along this trail, and then just about the time the trail ends, you wonder, what am I doing here? Bang, this door opens up on your right side. It's about 8 foot by 8 foot. Don't have any interior photos because it's dark in there. But this was a tunnel being built for the escape of Hitler and other high-ranking members of the Third Reich. And it goes, this is in Bavaria, but it goes in about a mile, takes a little zig to the right, and goes about a half mile and then stops because the war ended and that was the end of the construction. But it was supposed to come out of the mountains by Salzburg, Austria. And that was going to be their escape route. So that's both 11 and 12 there.
How far from completion do you think it was?
Boy, that's a good question. I don't know. It might have been another 100 feet. It might have been another
mile.
5 miles. I have
that's
no
a
way
long tunnel. Is the inside just rough at that point? It's not smooth.
It's kind of rough. And there are still holes where the boreholes where they put the dynamite in. There are still some boreholes with sticks of dynamite in them.
Tony.
Makes me nervous because, you know, I was trained with weapons and demolition when I was in the service. And dynamite doesn't do well just sitting still. Because dynamite is basically nitroglycerin in sawdust, which is why you have to turn the boxes every week or so. Otherwise, the nitroglycerin just settles down, and then you've got a pretty critical amount down there that can go off with just a least little bit of a jiggle.
Yeah.
But we don't jiggle them.
Mm-mm. Good. That's not a normal tourist destination, that tunnel.
Oh, God, no. It's a good mile into
it's
the woods.
It's amazing they've not walled it off.
Maybe they don't even know it's there. But no, I'm sure they know it's there. Most likely they figure, who cares? You know, who's going to go here? Half a handful of people, that's it. Tough hikers. I mean, you got to want to be there because it's a hike. And then you got to come back out. And you're going downhill to get to this thing, and which means going back home, it's uphill.
All right. Next.
Next is 13. That is about 50 feet further to the left of the door of the deep tunnel. That is just a room cut into the rocks about, probably 15 feet in, and that's it. This is where they stored the dynamite for the tunnel project.
Construction, yeah.
Yeah.
Must have had a lot of workers there working on it.
Right, right. And if you believe the propaganda, it's all slave laborers, which is baloney. You don't have uneducated farmers or city people blasting tunnels through the mountain. You got to have hard rock miners, and you got to have engineers who know where to place the blast. And we know these guys. These were well-paid professionals.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But that doesn't fit with the narrative that just
were downtrodden
slaves.
Right.
There were slave laborers in other places, sure. Not in this kind of high-tech construction.
All right, number 14. It's a beautiful little scene there.
Number 14, that's part of our group. And you see there's purple-haired Leslie on the far right. That's me on the far left. Jeff Carson next to Leslie. He's the tunnel king, but he doesn't know about Third Reich underground construction in this area. Ain't worth knowing. And some more of our people. This is a place we go to eat. In the next room over, which is rarely used, that's where Hitler used to meet with Dietrich Eckhart in the early days of Hitler's political career.
So where is this building?
That's in the mountains about
It's near. Is it near Berchtesgaden?
Yeah, it's like 5 miles, I think, from Berchtesgaden. Roughly, it's just a bald guess. 5 miles.
Roughly. It's still a restaurant. Obviously, you're looking at a menu.
And it changed hands a couple of years ago. Used to be when the old guy Tony with the huge handlebar mustache when he owned it, nobody was allowed into that room where Hitler and Dietrich Eckhart would meet. Now, it's open some of the time.
Well, you see your $100,000 camera there on the edge of the table.
Yeah. Where is it? Oh, yeah, that's that's my $100 Walmart special.
Uh-huh.
I've taken thousands of pictures all over the world with that thing, and I'm not plugging Walmart, but it's sitting right here on my desk in front of me. Let's see what brand it is. It's a Samsung. There we go.
Very good.
Face detection, whatever the hell that means. It's little green circles around people's faces when I'm taking pictures.
Interesting. So, all right. Number 15.
Number 15. You know we have to have pictures of the food. This is what I was eating there. Little chunks of pork in that great yellow sauce, the light mustard sauce, and all the rice. Oh, man. Great food. I love the food over there.
Yeah, it looks like fun. Every meal looks like fun.
Oh, yeah. Tasty. Flavorful, to use my wife's favorite term.
There you go. All right. And we still, I'm 16, still in the same establishment?
That's correct. That's the fireplace that heated that room. Mm-hmm. And it's been there for a long time. So who do we think got warm by that fireplace?
Right.
Back in the 30s.
Wow. Nice, 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 nice looking building.
Yeah, you betcha. Number 17, that's more of our group, by a different restaurant that you know who used to like to eat. And if you look to the left, you'll see an arm in the right side of a person. That's Leslie.
Uh-huh.
The guy right in the center, that's Rob. He's a correctional officer. It's a prison system in Georgia, I think. The two people on the right, I can't remember who they are. And the rest of the group was in the restaurant eating.
Well, you work up an appetite eating in a restaurant, so you've got to go to another one to satisfy that appetite. I understand how it works. It's called looping, I think.
Is that what it is? Okay. And besides, the air is so fresh and clean, and we're walking a lot, so you got to feed the furnace to keep you going.
Yep. All right. Number 18.
18. This is...
too bad I can't say that in German, huh? 18?
18.
No, you took the word right out of my mouth.
18. It's the same as when you say 18 here. When we say 18, it means 8 and 10. There, Oxane means 8 and 10.
Got it.
Same thing. Okay, that is right near where Hitler's home stood, maybe a quarter of a mile away. It was closer to where Goering's home stood, because this is Goering's adjutantura, I think it's pronounced. But it's where his adjutant, Goering's adjutant, had his home there, and his office staff was there. Mm-hmm. And he was such a nice guy that the adjutant, that when everything collapsed and there was the surrender order, the adjutant took all the food and all the coal that he could in his truck caravan and took off for Austria. And there's poor Fat Herman. He's got no food. He's in a cold home up there because his adjutant took it and ran. That's still used as an office building now for something with the Bavarian government.
Yeah, but it's evil, Harry. It's evil.
Well, I know. They haven't figured it out yet. You got to blow it up.
Yeah.
If you look at it, your brain turns into mush.
I'm fighting it. I'm fighting it.
Yeah. Number 19. There's Mike again. We're hiking through the mountains, and Mike is taking a breather.
Cricket power.
It's what?
Cricket power.
Cricket power, you betcha. Some of these shots I've taken, I've put up there just because the area is so incredibly beautiful. You can't take a bad photograph.
No, I believe it.
Yeah, you ought to join us on one of these.
Oh, there's so many things I should do.
I know.
That would really be at the top of the list. I would probably, I don't know how, it would be tough to, I'd probably go to Argentina first.
That's another great one.
Yeah, yeah. So and much happened down there.
Oh, God, yes. On our next show, next month, if you want, I'll have a ton of photos that we've shot in Argentina.
Sure.
And that we're going to be seeing again when we go this coming November this year.
I had a note from Martin today. I've got to write him back.
Oh, okay. You got to tell me about that when we're off air. I don't imagine it's a thumbs up.
Hell no.
Okay. Okay. Number 20. Numero 20. Okay. Here we are tromping through the brush. Leslie in the lead. And there's Jeff. I can't remember that other lady's name without looking it up. She's only been aboard for a couple of months. Anyhow, we're going to where Borman's home had stood.
Okay.
And
21?
21 is, there we go. There's Leslie looking over what's left of where the home had been standing.
That was it, right there.
That was it. Nothing left of it. Not a darn thing.
Well,
progress marches on, I guess.
No.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Number 22.
Oh, boy. Now we start the fun part. Now we're almost, we're about a mile in the air on Kelstein Mountain, and we're going to see Kelstein House, which is more properly known, more colloquially known as Eagle's Nest.
So that 22, at that level, you're already about 5,000 feet high or whatever, you're a mile
right,
high.
Right, I think it's a little more than that, but I'd have to look. I think it's about 6,000, but I'm not sure.
Now, we should tell people that Martin Bormann had this entire, this whole structure, the tunnel, the elevator, everything, he built it as a birthday gift for Adolf Hitler.
For the 50th birthday, yeah, in 1939.
That's quite an entrance when you look at it for what it was.
Oh, boy. And it's the one that was built in 1939. It's not a replica. It's not something else. This is the place. And where we're standing, it's on the parking lot. You go up a seriously steep and winding road that only their buses run on. And they're going up at an incredibly steep angle, and they're going about Mach 3, going up the mountain. And depending on which side of the bus you're on, you're looking straight out over nothingness. You're looking down at like 6,000 feet below you as you go whipping around.
You're saying there's no guardrail?
Oh, God, no. Why would you have a guardrail? To the best of my knowledge, they haven't lost any buses off the side of the mountain yet.
Well, that would make the news here if they did.
Oh, I'm sure. But this is the entrance down, once you get off the bus, you go in this entrance with the huge, big bronze doors that have been there forever. And then you go into, click on 23, there's the tunnel.
Where does the hold on. How far in that entrance does the tunnel that we're looking at in 23 begin, approximately? You have to go in quite a ways. And I have a reason for asking.
Yeah, I don't know how to measure it, but where we're standing right here, we're just about 10 feet inside the door, but you look to the far end, it's got to be 150 feet, I'm guessing, at least.
Well, that's big enough to drive trucks back and forth in. Certainly, when they were building it, they probably hauled a lot of stuff out with trucks. They just back them in there, load them up, pull them out. This is when they were originally building the tunnel.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I'd have to look at the video.
Now, that's all concrete. The floor is all concrete.
Oh, yeah. Well,
polished concrete.
Slabs. Yeah, slabs. Look down there under Jeff's feet and under...
Oh, they are slabs. They were cut and brought in there and laid down. Look at that.
Yeah, it's not poured concrete.
Look at that.
How come Leslie and Jeff are always at the front here? I'm starting to read something into this.
No.
Well, they're both single.
That's okay. A long tunnel. That looks like it's about 100 yards long. It looks like it.
Yeah, it's at least 150 feet. It might be closer to 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite a hike, and you got all the echoes booming around in there. And you're walking in the same exact tunnel that they did 70, 80 years ago. It's an eerie feeling.
It's real history. It's real history.
You're not kidding.
Okay.
And then 24, there's part of the gang in the elevator going up. They can put a lot of people in there, and they do their best. The only thing they're lacking is some little Japanese guy with white gloves that shoves people into the subway cars or in the buses over there in Tokyo. That's almost the way they put people into here.
Looks the sides of it are polished brass?
Yep, polished copper, I think.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was bronze. Jeff Carson corrected me and said, nope, it's copper. It's the exact same. It is the elevator that they used to take back in the old days. And you'll notice a guy facing us. That's Mike with a camera in his, I think that's Mike with a camera in his hand. And somebody else is using his camera here to take photos right by the sign that says, no photos allowed. But we can't read German, so we don't know that.
Do they have an operator in the elevator?
Yeah, yeah, there's a guy that runs it up and down.
No, I mean inside it. Okay, so yes.
Right, yeah, you're inside. He's inside with us. It takes about
is he wearing an? Is he wearing an SS uniform?
No, I don't think that's allowed anymore over there. Actually, he's not wearing any kind of uniform at all. He's just normal clothing.
Just kidding, just kidding.
I know. We don't want to get me arrested over there.
Well, I haven't seen a picture inside the elevator like that before, so good one.
Right, yeah. It's verboten. It's forbidden, but, you know, it's easier to beg forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Oh, I'm going to remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier to beg. That's good. Where'd you come up with that?
I read it. Somebody else used it. It'd be nice to say I thought of it, but I didn't. Somebody else did.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that served me well in all my years in the business world. Cooper, that's not in the policy. Oh, geez, I'm sorry, boss. I won't do it again.
Well, you almost sound like Mel Blanc there.
Well, there was a talent. Every one of those Looney Tune voices was Mel Blanc.
You know, I saw Mel Blanc on... I never liked David Letterman. I just didn't. Some of the things were creative and cutesy.
Okay.
He had the unmitigated honor to have Mel Blanc on as a guest.
Oh, boy.
It was only about a seven-minute segment, and you can find it on YouTube.
Oh,
and
okay.
He demonstrated no class. He treated Mel Blanc like he didn't know who he was.
He probably didn't.
He knew. He just treated him like it was a throwaway. Was indulging him.
Maybe that's why Letterman ain't on the air anymore.
I was really disgusted. But Mel was absolutely fabulous talent. Fabulous.
Every one of those voices on the...
it's hard to believe.
Looney Tunes, that was him.
All the Warner cartoons, all of them.
Yeah.
Bugs, Daffy, you name it.
Don't forget Sam.
The Yosemite Sam. There was a guy that did Elmer Fudd. Died, and Mel learned how to do Elmer Fudd after the original voice man who did Elmer Fudd passed.
And good old Yosemite Sam, his famous line, "Quiet rabbit, I'm a-thinking, and my head hurts."
Funny. All right, hold on a minute, and we will continue.
Stand.
Okay, and back with Admiral Cooper and all of you good people. Okay, we're taking a little walk through memory lane, as it were, with Harry. And we've got pictures, a number of them left, and we're going to end up with a big bang here. So go ahead.
All right, we're at 25 now. We've gotten off the elevator, and we're up at the Eagle's Nest. As a matter of fact, in 25, this is Mike again. And way in the background is Eagle's Nest, because it's not at the very highest point of that mountain. There's another little roadway up, which you'll see where Mike is standing. There's a memorial up there, a big Edelweiss. And switch over to number 26 now, and you can see how really high up you are. And look at the surrounding area. My God, down there in the left corner, you see if you look closely, you see the village of Berchtesgaden a mile down in the valley.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, I see.
And everything around you, the Alps, just magnificent scenery. And as you know, I didn't have photos of it here because Mike didn't take those the photos I'm mentioning. The foundation for the 88 millimeter guns and the other anti-aircraft guns, they're still there. We can see them.
Yeah. Wow. All right. What's the blue item? Is that a viewing scope?
It's one of those telescopes. You put money into it, and I don't know what you see. I never put a quarter into it. I figure if I can't see it with the eyes God gave me, phooey, let it go.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. Then
all right.
Number 27. That's at the base of the memorial. You see that square post going up? Way at the very top, there's a giant edelweiss. And this guy was out there singing. You notice he's got his little accordion case there on the ground. You throw money into it. But he was singing and yodeling, and we've got a short clip of that on our YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Sharkhunters.com, go to multimedia, go to videos, and you'll find that. And click on it, and you'll hear this guy singing and yodeling away up there on the mountaintops.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Okay. 28.
Again, we're up there at the memorial, and you can see the stairway coming up and the eagle's nest way in the background.
That must be one solid granite mountain that all those.
Right. And I don't know if you can see it or not, but if you look there, you see the building, the eagle's nest, and look off to the right, just a smidge, and you'll see a white, a long white thing there. Do you see it?
Yeah, I see it.
That's the castle at Salzburg, 20 kilometers away.
Oh, wow. Yeah, sure.
So there's that's another country. That's Austria over there. We're in Germany, and Bavaria over there is Salzburg.
So the escape tunnel was going to end up in Austria.
Right.
All right.
Didn't make it.
Very nice. Okay, 29.
29, yep. We get back down on terra firma and go not very far from where the eagle's nest is. Actually, it's very close to Berchtesgaden, only about 5 kilometers out. This is Königssee, which means the King's Lake. And this was, I guess, one of Eva Braun's favorite place to do her exercises and sometimes swim in the nude. Not right at this place. This is halfway down the lake. But and Hitler was not real thrilled with her not only exercising in the nude, but also she smoked cigarettes, and he was hardcore against cigarettes.
He was a vegetarian. People don't know that.
He was a vegetarian. He was against smoking cigarettes, and his favorite line, his famous line was, "Kaffee ist Gift, Tee ist schön." In other words, coffee is poison, tea is sweet. He also, a lot of people don't know, he outlawed vivisection in Germany. He was one of the probably the first leader of any civilized country to outlaw vivisection of animals. But we take this boat tour, and go slowly out across this lake, and it's just crystal clear because they don't allow any motorized boats out there, except, of course, the maintenance boat. They run it back and forth every so often. But all these other ones are electric-powered.
Mm-hmm.
And this is St. Bartholomew, which used to be a monastery. It's now a restaurant. But we go there, and then we go the rest of the way up to Übersee. We get out there, and some time ago, somebody told me it was 800 years ago, the land shifted, and a section of it raised up. And so the far end of what used to be Königssee is now about 80 or 100 feet higher than Königssee. and it's separated by about 1 kilometer.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk up this path, and there's streams running by us, and then we get up to Obersee, and it's just incredible beauty. There's also a restaurant along the way.
I would hope so.
Yeah, they got hot chocolate there and ice cream and all the stuff that my doctor tells me is bad for me. What does he know?
Well, you've learned lately. You're cutting
yeah.
back.
I know. And I got the results back from my doctor yesterday. I don't have to start taking a needle. My blood sugar is behaving itself.
Wait, that's because you're behaving yourself.
Yeah, I know. I just it hurts. I have to give up all them cupcakes, ice cream. Oh, well, who knows? 30. I'll bet you didn't know. Well, you know, but a lot of people don't know. There was a chancellery down here. The main chancellery, of course, was in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the southern chancellery. And if we could zoom in, which we can't, but you notice that rounded door, right above it is that big German eagle with the ring of oak leaf below it, except they chiseled off that evil swastika.
Mm-hmm.
Because your brain melts. If
oh,
you're
yeah.
One.
People just fall to the ground, writhing.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
We're going to come out with a book on that shortly. It was kept in exactly the same shape as when the war ended for decades. Nobody was allowed in there because the owner didn't like Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has the flag. The German flag that hung on that flagpole.
Good for him.
But we talked him and we convinced him into letting us in. He said we could take all the photos we want, but we just couldn't publish them. Okay, fine. Well, I held to my word, but now it's no longer the Southern Chancellery. He's changed everything inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a condominium, so we can publish the stuff we shot, and I'll be coming out with that book probably in the next 4 or 5 months in my spare time.
Yeah, right. Right. Very good. Fascinating. Okay.
You betcha.
Number 31. Yep. Looks
this
like there might be food there.
Oh, mm-hmm. God, yes. This is a place called, Holzkäfer. No, not Holzkäfer. That's a different one. Hochlenzer. That's what it is. Hochlenzer. It is on the side of a mountain way up, and down in the valley is Berchtesgaden. The scenery, again, is breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of Hitler's favorite places. And if you know where to look, they've got a picture hanging of him in here, in this right. restaurant. So everybody, of course, once we tell them where it is, everybody has to go in and take a picture of the picture.
Good. History.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, photo 32, I'm counting on you not to call my doctor, because that's one giant plate of ice cream I got there in front of me.
Jeez, really? That's ice cream?
Yeah, they call it a Heiße Liebe.
Wait a minute. You mean on the right, in the corner of the table, that's ice cream?
No, it's what I'm eating.
Yeah, but that's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. What flavor was it? Do we care?
Well, it's called a Heiße Liebe, which means hot love, and it's 3 big scoops of vanilla ice cream with hot raspberries poured over
it. It looks like half a gallon.
Oh, yeah, and a mob of whipped cream. But I make sure I eat around the sugar part. I don't eat the sugar.
Right.
I just
mm-hmm.
eat mm-hmm. And that's a Coke in front of me, not a dark beer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just so it isn't a Diet Coke. Stay away
oh,
from
Oh, God, no. It's horrible stuff.
Yeah. They came out with a new Coke flavor. I heard on a radio commercial somewhere. Let me think. Vanilla and something else. It's vanilla and something else. Like vanilla and cherry or something. Anyway,
it's a cherry Coke?
No, it's not cherry
Maybe,
Coke.
Okay.
It's a vanilla and something. It's a new flavor. Okay, let's move to the last 3 photos, which are really fascinating. These are historic, and this is an enormous aircraft. There were only three of them built. Two of them were finished. The third apparently wasn't finished and never flew. But the first two, and we've talked about this before, apparently did a lot of long-distance flying during the war, more than most people knew or know. And this is, you tell them, this is the plane, we think, that flew
Hitler out of Germany by way of Norway and then down to Uruguay. It landed in Uruguay. And they were numbered V1, V2, and V3, which had nothing to do with the rockets. It just was what they named them. V3 never got finished. As you say, V2 was 3 meters longer than V1, which is, what, about 11 foot, I think, which gave it more fuel capacity. And so it had a range of about 7,000 miles. And they painted it Swedish Air Force blue with Swedish Air Force markings and flew it down to Uruguay. As you know, we got a handwritten, hand-drawn chart from our old friend Pizarro. God bless him. He's rest in peace. And we followed that. Martin and I followed that chart, and it was exact right where we went by the town of Paysandú. And that's, we found the road, we found the intersection, and we found the estancia where the meadow was, where the plane landed.
It landed in daylight or night?
At night.
They had lit the area up so the pilot could see where the airstrip was, which was the road.
And no, this, it wasn't the road. It was the meadow.
The meadow.
It was the meadow. This thing landed on the grass.
Unbelievable.
Most of the German planes were set to take off and land on grass.
Got it. And
they had put a radio broadcasting station in a little small woods at the beginning of this meadow so that the pilot could RDF on the thing.
Look at that. That's an enormous aircraft.
Yeah, and the story that goes along with it was that after it landed and the people got off it, the farm workers disassembled it in that one night and dumped all the parts into the nearby river. Well, that's baloney. You know, these are uneducated, unskilled, untrained farm workers, and this thing is almost the size of a 757. They're not going to take it apart at all.
No.
So, and as I've told you and your listeners too, we have an idea where it is, but the guards there have been told they can shoot to kill. So I'm not sure I want to go there just yet. But
amazing.
We're going near there in November.
So just understand that these people who claim Hitler and Eva Braun and the others were taken to South America via submarine are just totally wrong. They flew.
Right. Right. Some came by submarine. Martin Bormann did, et cetera, et cetera, but not Hitler. Hitler was violently claustrophobic. He was extremely prone to seasickness. So to think this guy is going to spend 3 or 4 weeks bouncing around the ocean in a smelly little tube, it's just ludicrous. Plus, the so-called experts, like the Hunting Hitler TV series and a book it came from, or the book that Jerome Corsi wrote, excuse me, they all say that he escaped on board U-530. No, just not, he did not. The skipper of 530, Otto Wermuth, swore on his honor as an officer that he did not have passengers aboard. Also, we know Hitler was in the Führer bunker on his birthday, the 20th of April, 1945. We've proven that. And he didn't leave, actually, well, we'll come to that later, but he didn't leave until about the 12th or 13th of May. But
leave, when you say leave
Europe. He was in Austria for a while and then back, but that's, and I've got all that documentation right in front of me here in case we got time for it. But the submarine, U-530, was already 3 days out to sea on the 20th of April, when we know Hitler was in his bunker. So he obviously didn't leave with that boat. And that boat was on a combat mission off New York. He went there, Wehrmuth and U-530. They fired at some ships, missed, and then the war ended. So they decided, okay, we don't want to surrender. We don't want to become prisoners of war. And some of them had relatives in Chile. So they decided to go down. They were going to go around Cape Horn. But when they got to southern Argentina, their fuel was running way low. They didn't have enough fuel to make it around. So they turned around and came back to Mar del Plata, which was a big Argentine Navy base, and surrendered there.
Much smarter.
Well, yeah, they stayed alive. So we knew he left. I got from one of our operatives who was, this was last year, this is one of our members in Austria who was at that time when an active spook. He was an active spy for an outfit that we won't name, and he was showing me where I'm choosing my words carefully here.
No, take your time. Take your time.
Negotiations were in progress between the Third Reich government and the Americans in Salzburg after the surrender order came, because there was a large contingent of Waffen-SS holding back the oncoming Allied forces while the negotiations were going on. It was part of the peace proposal, not the peace proposal, but also the trade-off,
uh-huh.
The quid pro quo.
Right.
And then finally, about the 12th, I think it was, of May, we know Hitler left. So we didn't know how to fill in the blanks. And here, let me read what I just got like a week ago. Point one, Hitler definitely landed in a Fiesler Storch, which could have flown directly from Berlin. They had a range of 600 miles. Point two, Fegelein flew with Eva Braun separately to Austria so that Eva could say goodbye to her sister Gretel, probably at Zell am See. Point three, Hitler knew that his time was short even in 1943. Yes, I'll chime in here. By middle 1943, it was obvious the war was going to be lost by Germany, and all their patriotic talk about we'll fight to the last bullet and the last man meant we'll fight to the last sergeant while the rest of us get the hell out of town. Anyhow, preparations were made for his eventual exile, and a deal was made using Dulles, Alan Dulles, as the go-between in Switzerland. The Allies wanted technology and access to whatever they could grab before the Russians could get it, such as gold, assets, etc. Point four, Hitler had to personally visit this place by himself in order to ensure that he would not fall victim to a double cross. Only he could access the master storage safes, and there were lists of Swiss bank accounts to be used to provide for his exile. Ah, them Swiss bank accounts. But also frozen assets and hush money for people like Perón, as we have determined. Perón was on, right, on the payoff big time.
Right.
Also, there were detailed maps and coordinates listing secret storage locations for items of interest. And without these, the Allies would not have found as much as they did or as fast as they did. And here's the next interesting piece. Item five, the Bernstein Zimmer, otherwise known as the Amber Room, was almost certainly stored in this place,
mm-hmm,
which we will name in our book. Through an anonymous source, there were documents found at this place that confirmed this, and my source there has seen them, but he's not allowed to use them. Okay, well, we'll respect that. Let's see, point six. That wasn't important.
So Hitler was, after he allegedly died, he was involved directly in some of these negotiations.
Apparently that's the case, and we just found this batch of documents within the last.
This is absolutely stunning material.
Yep.
Congratulations. And, hold on tight, and this will be another incredible book. Wow.
I think there's no question about it. We got tons of pictures. Unfortunately, none with Uncle Adi in it, but we got tons of pictures of this place. There is an overview. And it's got a huge, big dog run, which we figure is for Blondie.
Yeah.
People saw him there. People saw him. Lots of people. And their descendants are talking to us now. We're trying to get photos, but that's not so easy.
Even though Harry has this really earth-shaking information about history, it's not going to change the status quo of what they teach, how they teach it, so the masses will never know any of this. They won't know about the six-engine junkers. They won't know about these negotiations, which were still going on for a couple of weeks after he was allegedly dead.
Right.
So who did they find in the garden above the bunker? A double. They killed a double, and that's who the body... That's who the body belonged to, the double.
And that's why they don't have the body on display anywhere, because it wasn't Hitler.
That's right. This is all fascinating, and another awesome book from Harry Cooper is in the works.
Oh, yeah. That's what makes this worthwhile. As you know, I don't get a salary. I don't get paid for this. All the money we bring in goes to work handling shark hunters. As a matter of fact, I just looked at the accounts this morning, and so far, Shark Hunters owes $175,000 to Harry Cooper because I keep putting my own money into it. But I've never had so much fun in my life. I met all these great skippers and people like that. Yeah. And I even met Putin some years ago.
I know. It's all amazing. You're really blessed. This is, and all the people involved with Shark Hunters. This is the kind of information that you get. You get it. You get the best. So join.
Yeah. www.sharkhunters.com. Take you right there.
You can
send an email to sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and I'll send you the current issue of the magazine absolutely free by internet.
This is great. Okay. Thank you. That was really special. And what an ending. I've not heard. I heard a little of it, but not much.
No. The stuff keeps coming in.
Yeah. Fascinating.
One operative who has his own people over there in that area.
Fascinating. Okay. We both know one gentleman, we'll just call him Mike for fun, who's linked. He's in with the world elite, right?
Okay.
And you talk to him apparently quite a bit. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I've talked to him a couple times. Very interesting man. That's not what we're talking about here, though, when we're talking about Harry's sources.
No, he's not one.
No, he's not.
Not on this one.
No. All right. Thank you for sharing that, sir. That was terrific.
Well, my
pleasure. Really great. All right. You be well. Take care. We'll talk soon. And look forward to next time, as always.
All right. Take care, and I'll talk to you next month.
Or sooner. All right.
Or sooner, yeah. We got to talk about Martine, but that's off the air.
Okay. All right. Talk to you soon, Harry. Thanks.
Adios. Bye-bye.
So you just got a little glimpse, again, of history unknown to the world. Unknown. Where Hitler went when he left the bunker and was involved in obviously negotiating the final details of this settlement with Alan Dulles. Maybe not directly, but he was involved. And so there you go. Okay. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes. Hang on.